Welcome, athletes, viewers alike, to One-on-One with Coach Blue. Good to have you all here. Awesome platform by which you guys get to call in via our Zoom link. And if you want, ask some questions. This is your platform, your time to talk about anything that's on your mind, whether it's addiction, mental health, it could be anything that you're going through right now. We like to provide this platform every week to you, the viewer and the listener, so that you have a little bit of help and assistance in your corner. It's kind of a crazy like lifestyle we're all living right now with this COVID epidemic and everything that seems to be causing lots of emotional turbulence through other people's opinions and the stressful nature that is social media. So we hope to give you a little bit of a platform, maybe some dialogue going back and forth that might be able to help. You never know. Addict Athlete can be found on all the social network platforms. TikTok even is kind of a funny thing. But more so our website, addict2athlete.org. You can jump on there and find all kinds of information, content, things that are going to help you in your recovery. Most of it, majority of it, if not dang near all of it, it's free of charge. So jump on there. Our podcast, our YouTube channel, it's all been designed to help you, the individual in recovery. Just as a quick note, anybody looking forward to the upcoming Sober Coach program, let us know. We're getting ready to start this within the next few days. So if you want to jump on and become a Addict to Athlete certified Sober Coach, all the information can be found on our website, addict2athlete.org. We got lots of things to talk about today. We have tons of stuff that we could address, but this isn't my platform. This is yours. So I think we've got our athletic director back in the house. She was Welcome. Out last week. So yeah. You got Mike all live, all hot over there.
Finally here for real.
Awesome. Look at that. Stepped you up and gave you your own mic.
That's nice.
Kind of cool. Awesome. But yeah, if you have a question, you can do two ways. You can either go through the Facebook live feed, or you can jump on with us with the meeting number and the password that's been provided there in the description. So either way, it's 100% up to you on how you guys would like to jump in and participate. These webinars are recorded and then produced as a podcast later on in the week. So kind of a good thing for you guys to utilize and to help strengthen your own sobriety. So with that being said, Marissa,
we've got two
in the hopper right now. Let's go ahead and go through those and we'll get rocking and rolling.
Selena's going to join.
Okay, One-on-One with Coach Blue, Selena. Get her going.
Hi.
Selena, there you go. I'll allow you to start your video. It's weird that that's not an option that just pops up, but we've enabled that now, so you should be able to. There you go.
Hi, there I am. Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about the hike that I did last Saturday.
Yeah.
With my new friend who
awesome.
Did that hike on crutches. Wow.
Yeah, I saw the picture of both of you guys hiking Donut Falls, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
And to be like an ultra runner.
We're losing your audio. You want to start over? We didn't hear any of that.
Oh, part. Sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Anyway, I was thinking a lot about this when I was listening to Michelle talk last night. And as we were doing the hike, it was very difficult. It was like one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And then to watch Wakely on crutches. But anyway, it was kind of a spiritual experience for me, actually. But my main point I wanted to say tonight is there's been times I've felt like, oh, I don't really contribute. I'm not an athlete, you know. I'm just kind of like in the background like Michelle talked about. But I just wanted to bring up the point of how much that's changed even in the last few months in my mindset. I'm never going to be an ultra runner. I'm never probably going to run a marathon. I hope to run a 5K again, but if I hike boulders in the mountains, I mean, I think That's my athlete thing.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And specifically, I think it's been neat. I've seen you going out and doing a few things where you found people with the same kind of disability with prosthetic legs. And it's been amazing to watch you not allow that to be a disadvantage, that you are able to use it to your advantage, to be able to talk to people, to be able to find those situations where you can help, those folks who are maybe early on in that process, figure out how to navigate life. And so it doesn't matter if you're an ultra marathon runner or if you can hike over a boulder, you're an athlete when you say you are. And I love that, Celine. I think you're absolutely right.
Well, and I just had to share that because that once again, mindset has changed with me, because I know, as you remember, when I hurt my knee and I couldn't do anything, I was just, it's like, oh, I can't be on this team. I can't do anything athletic. And
yeah,
luckily, I left and I came back and stuck it out. And then I don't know. It's just kind of become a little bit more clear recently that hiking might be my thing. It doesn't really matter or how often you go out. I think, that it's not what the team's about. That's kind of how I have felt lately. And then after last night, I really felt that. I'm like, we're here for support. We do what we can, but if we're all athletes in just different levels. But
yeah, I love that you say that too, because so many people come onto this team and they don't realize that first and foremost, we're an addiction recovery program. But we're more than that too, and I think that if truth be told, we end up doing more service than we actually do like athletics, which is kind of an interesting paradigm. But you don't have to be a world-class athlete to be part of this team. And so many people have come up to me and said, coach, I love this philosophy. I love the team, but man, I'm not a runner. And it's like, well, yeah, you are. It's just, you haven't found it yet. And part of that is maybe you are going to be a walker before you're a runner. Maybe you're going to just come out and serve before you run. There's a million and one things we do that go beyond, just the traditional, like put on your running shoes and run. So I'm so glad you're talking about this, because really what makes an athlete, right? I mean, it's you putting in some physical pursuit. It's you being able to suit up and show up and give it your best, and to each his own. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Oh, thank you. And then one more point. It was, I want to just say real quick that I think people cross our paths there's no coincidences. That's just Selena 101. But
yeah,
I believe that we were down looking at the flag that was down a couple weekends ago, and that's where I met Wakely. He was riding his motorcycle with a bunch of other riders, and I noticed that he did not have a leg, so I went up and started talking to him, and the next week we're on a hike. So I'm just saying, I don't know, step out of your box sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. That same thing happened to one of our athletes hiking up Timpanogos, where he was hiking up there, and he met someone from Leadville, Colorado, who knew Coach David Clark, and that experience for him, just to be able to have a moment like that with someone that was so far away, but then have the same, background and friendships was amazing. It's when we hold back and we don't allow ourselves to be introduced to new people, we kind of get stuck in this little bubble, and it's not always that healthy. So I love it.
And yeah, and this is really cool. As I got talking to him, I had my addict to athlete shirt on, and he's like,
he'd heard about us before.
And looked into the group. He had never, and he said, oh, I know a lot about Blue. I've followed, the group. I just really, from afar, he's a recovering alcoholic. So anyway, so it was just one of those things that it was cool, and I was glad I had my shirt on. I decided when I go anywhere like that, I'm gonna wear my shirt, because you just, obviously it caught his attention as well. But
it does.
Anyway, it was, and then we're climbing boulders and going to the top of this waterfall, and so being an athlete is just pushing yourself, just getting lost in doing something else. And for me, it might just be hiking. It might be running. It might not. It might be service, like you said. But I just wanted to give my perspective that, you know, don't think you're not part of the team like I did for a long time, because I couldn't do the marathons and stuff. Anyway, thank you.
I love it. Yes, Lena, thank you. I love it. I love it. And viewers and listeners, that's one thing you should be very, very aware of, is that on Team Addict to Athlete, you don't have to be a world-class athlete. I don't think that we make that as strong as we should and as profound as we should. Addict to Athlete is designed to help anyone at any level. We have people that walk. We have people that run. We have people that play sports, people that want to serve. So just because, you know, the word athlete is in our name doesn't mean that that should scare you or kind of push you away. It should really be one of those things that says, well, let me come out and see what I'm made of. Let me see how much strength I can produce. And basically, to get a team behind you, this is recovery and sobriety is a team. And so it's pretty cool. All right. Next up, we got our Addict to Athlete / Addict to Artist program, Elko. Hello, Donnell. How are you?
Hello, we're good.
Awesome.
Just getting
rid of that. My goodness. Okay.
That was a Zoom foul, Blue.
Hey, I know. I must be popular. Unless people should jump on and see that I'm on here and I can't talk on the phone, huh?
Yeah. So we got some good topics tonight. We're going to talk about Erickson's psychosocial stages.
It's a big one.
Good one,
We talked about that last week, and it's a doozy. Hey, Coach. It's a doozy because I found that Eric Erickson stages of development are probably the most closely relatable theory out there when it comes to addiction recovery. I think that a lot of times we don't get to really wrap our heads around what causes our addiction and where it starts. And with Eric Erickson, you can definitely pinpoint exactly where it starts and how to fix it. So
yeah,
I'm a huge advocate of Eric. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we have a question. One of our group members was wanting to know if you have any suggestions how to quiet your thoughts, how to get out of your head, how to kind of not stay stuck there.
Interesting. It's funny because I've been reading a little bit about some of this stuff recently and about how we get too focused on tomorrow or too focused on yesterday, and therefore we lose right now. And, you know, I think it was David Clark in his book talks a little bit about that, where he says none of us can live in tomorrow. Nobody can. No one's ever figured out a way to live in tomorrow. No one's ever experienced tomorrow. And really, our past is behind us, and so here we are. So how do we get comfortable with right now? And so many times when our mind starts to drift, it's because we're future tripping, or we have anxiety about what's yet to come, or maybe we start feeling guilty or shame based on what has been. And so we completely forget to be in the now. The only thing that truly exists is right now. And in order to do that, you have to get real serious about what's going on around you. And you have to get real focused on the spirituality and the beauty and the concept that is right now. It's like when we get into a mindset by which we're trying to figure out things that could potentially harm us or potentially cause anxiety, it's always future-based. And the scary thing about living in a future-based mindset is that you'll fall right into it. So I like to teach kind of just being in the moment. You can do this through meditation. You can do this through art. You can do this in so many different ways. But quieting the mind means taking a stock of what's going on around you right now. In the book by Dan Millman, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, he talks about no ordinary moments. And he says, there's a scene in the movie and in the book where he brings the student up and he says, I want you to look around. And so Dan's looking around and he says, what do you see? He's like, nothing. There's nothing going on. And he's like, look closer. And as he kind of guided imagery him into this mindset of seeing everything that's going on, from the person reading the book and turning the pages under the tree to the dog catching the frisbee, with its owner over there, to the bees landing onto the flowers and collecting pollen. When you started really getting into the moment and started seeing that there are no ordinary moments, and it didn't matter what happened yesterday or what's coming tomorrow, but right now that matters. When we can do that, it really does help us immerse ourselves in how powerful of a spiritual relationship we have with the world. And so in order to do that, though, you've got to quiet everything else. You have to get real focused on maybe just something as simple as breathing. And a lot of our anxiety comes, again, from what's to come. And there's some stuff I've done with EMDR, what's called future templating, that will help people kind of get calm. And basically, it's like processing, like through EMDR, everything that could possibly happen and let it happen. And the cool thing about that is once you're going through these future templates, even if it doesn't quite match, when that experience finally reaches you, you'll know how to navigate it. This is why I think it's funny when people say, I don't know what I would do if I lost my loved one. Well, you know, we help travel that path by answering all the what ifs. Well, what if it happened? You know, who would be the first person you would call? And what would you do? What song would you play at the funeral? We talk about all this stuff all the way through. And we realize that, man, we really can handle this. We dumb ourselves down and we weaken our soul when we get fearful about what's to come instead of having a strong sense of faith. And in order to have a strong sense of faith, you have to be in the moment. You know, you got to be able to lead with courage and with inspiration and not so much fear and anxiety. But to quiet the mind means that sometimes you have to go right down to the very basics of you as a human being, which is maybe just concentrating on your breathing and pushing everything else out of way. Maybe you do a container exercise where you imagine yourself putting all these troubles and all these chaos and all this pain into a little Tupperware container and putting it on the shelf and labeling it. You know, we'll come back to this later. So there's a lot you can do. You know, I talk about distraction, and distraction through art or through, you know, through exercise definitely helps. But if it's something that's weighing too heavy on your mind, sometimes it helps just to let it out and to talk to somebody about what it is you're carrying, because sometimes we feel like we have to weather these storms alone. So I would say start recognizing and starting to, you know, put yourself in the moment. Start recognizing that all that anxiety and stuff is not happening right now. B, surround yourself with a good, strong team. Let them carry some of that burden alongside you. And not so much that you're looking for answers, but you're just looking for someone to understand and to hear you. And then C, you know, exercise it out, you know, produce it, create it out, you know, do the art stuff, let it out on paper, do the visual exercises. These are a lot of different tools you can use to ground yourself and to put yourself in the moment rather than future trip.
Awesome. Thank you.
Did that help at all?
It totally helped a lot.
It's what you're going to be able to do right now with your art project. And whatever you guys are doing with Eric Erickson, just know that when you start at whatever phase it is, typically, you know, if it's teenage years, it's identity versus role confusion. In order to get out of that role confusion, you have to form a strong identity. Thus, addict to artist, addict to athlete, you are now more than just one. So I'm looking forward to hearing about how you guys produce that. That's great.
Yeah, we got a fun project going tonight.
Cool. All right. Well, carry on, my artist friends.
I see my blanket back there.
Yeah, it's back here, Kate, keeping me reminded of our athlete Carly. And we have Forrest Gump, and we also have Nacho Libre, so, you know.
Nice. All right.
Absolutely.
We'll be in touch.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome.
So, yeah, athletes, to be in the moment, to really kind of focus in on what it is that you want now, not what you're worried about tomorrow. And so it's a good visual to kind of get yourself into that imagery that there are no ordinary moments, but to be able to focus and concentrate really on what we do as a team to help each other achieve their goals, to help weather the storm, to help carry the load. That's the beauty about that. All right. Looks like we have our next guest. This is Rowena. Hey, how are you? It's good to see you.
You too.
Old friends, Rowena and I, huh?
Yes, Ro, it's easier.
Ro, there you go. Ro, there you go. I should do it. It says right there on your name badge there. So, yeah.
Sorry.
How are you? Welcome to One-on-One. What can I do for you? What questions do you got?
I mean, obviously, like you said, we have a history and whatnot, but I think my biggest thing is, I mean, you kind of know background a little bit, and my whole thing is how to find the balance, I guess, as far as I'm involved in several different service projects. I sit on the community board for two different boards, mm-hmm. and trying to not get consumed and overwhelmed by, I can't say you can't take the services not personal, because it's hard to not.
Yeah.
And being a part of different groups that mean so much to you, and you know, you have to put yourself in the perspective of you're investing so much into this cause, so much into something that means so near and dear to you, that you're afraid of, not afraid, but it's hard to not take it personal, and you can't save the whole world. And I have to understand that. And I know that. And my mm-hmm. whole thing is I do these service projects and whatnot because of my own situations at home. Not only do I have two young adults that I work with, like that are my life, that I've mm-hmm. tried to be there as much as I possibly can, but I also have my 9-year-old auntie mm-hmm. who had his first anxiety attack last week. And oh. I do these service projects because not to run away or be blindsided or not forget about my own problems, but something that I've read is, you know, best antidote to disparity is service. But mm-hmm. how to find that balance between the service that I do and my own kids without getting compassion fatigue, I guess you can say.
There you go.
Drown you out. And I don't know how mm-hmm. to see that trigger until it's too late.
Yeah. You know, I did a video not too long ago about compassion fatigue, and it's a very real thing. One that I myself have had to really kind of focus on, because as I run the team and as I am the father of a family, and when I was that bishop, you know, there was a lot of balance that needed to occur. And compassion fatigue is a very real thing, because at the end, who heals the healer, right? I mean, who's there for mom? And so I've looked at it by putting it down on paper as a priority list and really kind of becoming very rock solid with, you know, where everything fits. So first and foremost, it would be, you know, on my number one priority list is my spirituality. It's my Father in Heaven. And he and I have to be very tight together, or else I get out of balance real quick. Next comes myself, you know, which is kind of interesting. I put myself second under that. My wife comes third. She's third on the totem pole there. She's way down, like third place.
I am listening.
Yeah.
No, I know this.
She's third place. My kids, they're fourth place, right? And so, and it keeps going down. And so what it basically means for me that is if I don't have my connection with my spiritual side, and that's not serving, that's just my relationship with him. If that's out of whack, then I can't be, you know, good for anybody else. So that means I got to take care of my spiritual self first, which is kind of a crazy thing. Like, you're doing a lot of running lately again. I'm getting back into it, but I'm going alone. I'm not taking anybody with me. I'm not taking any dogs running with me. I'm not doing anything. I'm going by myself because I need that recharging time. And that's where I find some of that spirituality, specifically now, because COVID won't let us go to church for a while. But then comes my relationship with Marissa and making sure that that's okay. And then my relationship with the kids. And then my relationship with service. And so service is way down the line, right? It has to come way down the line. And then my relationship with things, stuff that I enjoy, like this computer that we're talking on and my car and things that I like. We got to get these priority lists straight so we know what the flip we're even doing this for, right? But then what happens is when we first start serving in a caliber like what you're talking about, like even this for me, it can become a point of contention with myself because there's so much I want to do and there's so much I want to give and there's so much I want to provide. Yet if I do it too much for free, we don't put food on the table and we lose everything, right? And so there's a lot of like humility that needs to go into this, that first and foremost, and this is that Buddhist philosophy that I love so much, talks about becoming one with you before anything or anyone else. You have to be comfortable in your own skin first. And for me, the only way I can do that is through my spirituality. And so being very focused on where my time goes. And I'll tell you, Ro, I've said this to my kids and I've said this to the team. if any of that, those first four tiers get mixed up and get out of whack, my service days are over. I told my kids since they were very little, as soon as addict to athlete ever becomes a contention in this family, or if I'm missing things for you guys that I, you know, for addict to athlete's done. And I give you children the right to say, dad, you're not paying attention to us anymore. You're doing too much for everybody else. And then I'd have to say, all right, addict to athlete, goodbye. And I would do it in a heartbeat. I really would. And then there's come a couple of times where I almost had to do that. Specifically when I was serving in clergy, it was, Bishop Jenkins, Paul Jenkins, that told me family comes first before meetings, before anything else. And so for me, I thought, I'm going to take that seriously. I would walk out of a job, bro, if my family needed me. And they're like, no, we'll fire you if you leave. I'm like, well, consider this my notice then. Because to me, that's the only thing that truly matters. And so for me, it got real easy. Because there was things I used to do all the time with Marissa that I would go out and bike for hours and hours and hours because it was good for me and it would recharge my soul. But then she was home alone with the kids for literally sometimes 6, 7, 8 hours on a Saturday. And when we had this conversation about, hey, you're doing too much self time. I need, to do some self time. I need that. At first I'm like, well, how, I'm doing something that's positive. Why are you infringing on my mental health, and then it hit me that my mental health time was crushing her mental health time. That's a lot of dialogue, but what it boiled down to was my priority list needed to get very serious. And I have a hard time saying no. That's still one of my biggest vices. If someone needs help, I'm there. And I've really had to like swallow some of my own pride and ask for help from my team captains and my coaches, like, with my coach Jensen and stuff. If I didn't have him or Marissa, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. So really, it's getting your priority list back into check and then know why you're serving, know why you're doing it, right? It's funny. I could ask you this question. Are you serving for you or are you serving for someone else? It's a hard question, but what do you think?
I'd say it's a mixture of both because...
Don't take the easy way out. Don't take the easy way out. Who gets more?
Okay, so I would say... First and foremost, for my kids, because it teaches them, we've came from nothing to something. Mm-hmm. And regardless what's happening, there's always somebody that's going to have it worse than you. So don't take what little we think we might have is bigger to somebody else. And I've always taught my kids that it doesn't matter what situation that you're in, you can always help somebody because mm-hmm. I'm infamous for something always happening, but I've learned honestly more in the last 3 years that I can roll with it and look for the best in it and the greater good in it instead of, oh my gosh, this, oh my gosh, that. So and it's helped a ton. So to answer your question, why I'm doing it is because of my kids. And when I see that they see that they're making a difference and they're so happy because I try to include them in all that we do and they do. And at first I'll kind of get upset about it, but over the last year, especially everything that's happening right now, they're so happy that they've been able, something so small to them was bigger to somebody else. And it made such a huge impact mm-hmm. that they honestly understand paying it forward,
Right.
So to me, that's a big thing. And so when they see that service to others is a huge thing, and not to bring the whole religion or spirituality into it, but I've always told them, higher power is not just going to come down and sit by you and say, what do you want me to help you with? No, they answers our prayers through other people, through helping mm-hmm. hands. So why not be that helping hand? So that's my biggest reason why I do service is because of my kids.
But you're feeling burnt out now? You're feeling like you've bitten off too much?
Not so much, biting off too much. I would say, even though I'm there, I mean, my kids are in therapy. So it's just the younger three that are home now. The older two mm-hmm. are no longer here. It's just the younger three. But concentrating on my kids and understanding, because it's one thing when it's you, yourself, that is an addict, but to also, when it comes to your own kids, it's really, really hard. Because I can shut the door, can't put a boundary up with my own family. Mm-hmm. But when it's your kids, something totally different. And I'm trying not to have that consume my little ones and that's where I'm like, okay, you know what, service. And I start getting involved in that. Even though I am being there for my younger three, I don't know how to find that balance, because when they're not with me, all these temptations, all these negative thoughts start coming into my head. And it's like a Saturday night at 12 o'clock. Where are you going to have service, you know? Mm-hmm. And with my accident, with my ankle, I can't just go out and run and be out there. I'm home. And that's where the hardest part, even more so this last month, is because, like I said, my ankle is getting back better. But you can't find a service project, and correct me if I'm wrong, at like between 11 and 5 in the morning. And that's like literally boxing with my demons and trying to know what to do.
How often do you serve yourself? How often are you doing something for you? Because I know you give and give and give. But very rarely do you ever take or receive. But what are you doing for you? I mean, in those periods of time, you and your brain saying, hey, let's go take a break. We've earned it, quote unquote. Let's go get high. You're like, no, I'm not doing that. That's not how I'm going to reward myself. But how often do you reward you? Not much, huh?
No, I think my whole rewarding is like me trying to remember who I was, as far as reading a book or watching a TV show. I mean, it's simple things like that, but then how long am I going to watch and sit here and be a couch potato before a song comes on or before some scene comes on? And then I'm like, oh, okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's those hours that suck.
As I need to butt in, because as for service project in the middle of the night, there is one that I absolutely love. And it's going down to Mountainlands preschool. They have packets that they need people to put together. They need them to color or cut out. And those are things that they just like check out to you, and you can work on them at any time that you need. So that may be something where you're kind of mixing. You're going to do the cutout and do those kindergarten packets and preschool packets while you're watching a show. You know, so it's a little more relaxing. It's not going to hurt your ankle, and maybe a little bit of that distraction, you know, possibly in the middle of the night.
That's
right. I've got
info
on that.
We've done that before.
I can send it to you. They're great.
We've done that before too. And I think sometimes we forget there's a lot of outside of the box things, you know? I mean, I've actually seen people on Addict to Athlete post online before when it's been like super late at night, like, hey, can't sleep. I'm kind of struggling. Is anybody up? And they are having this little dialogue back and forth. There's a lot of different ways. And sometimes it's thinking outside the box. I remember doing that with the program we worked at and stuff. And so there's a lot you can do, but then there's also, if you, you know, making sure that you're okay first.
Self-care is so important still.
Yeah. And I know you, Ro. You just don't take a lot, you know? And I think if there's anyone that's going to be qualified for sainthood, it's going to be you. I mean, you know, you give a lot, and it's neat. And I love how you said, you know, what's the service really for? If it boils down to it, service is for us. It's for the person that's actually doing it. It makes us feel better. And the recipients are great. And the people that get to watch it and see it are fantastic. But service is kind of a self-serving, you know, like motivator in my own eyes. It's we feel good when we're doing something to help lighten someone else's burden. And as long as we're doing that with the ability of like being able to say when or enough is enough, and now I need to take care of me, then by all means, invest as much as you can. I think I get what you're saying. It's just like, you'd rather not have idle hands or idle mind, because thus the devil's playground. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think it's just like, that is the biggest thing. And honestly, and I didn't catch it until a couple of days ago when Amaru is the one who brought it up. And he said, he brought up a really good point and said, you know, you do so much and you do all these different things, and you always say you don't want to be anything like your mom. Do you think that you're compensating and doing so much because you don't want to be like that, even though you don't see that, but you're overdoing it because you don't want to be seen that way? And that was
wise.
Like,
that's very wise.
Smart boy.
Smart young man. How old is Amaru now?
13.
Man, that's powerful. He nailed it on the head with me. That's the reason why I do what we do, is that same reason. I'm like, I'm sick of having this name drug through the mud, and I want to produce something better. So he's absolutely right. But all in the same breath, you know, because I know your family, I know your mom, you're very, very different. You have never backed down from anything. And even the hard stuff, those hard parts in the middle, you've navigated those to prove that you can do hard things. So the thing that impresses me is that you've created an emotionally safe environment by which your son can even have that conversation with you. That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's big. That right there tells you, like, return on investment. Does that make sense? If he's coming up with that as a 13-year-old, mission accomplished. You're doing fantastic. Stay the course.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it may be that you sit and you need to let it sit and think about either what he said, but why is that idle time so dangerous for you? Is it you can't be stuck in your own head? Like, what is it that maybe below that needs to be addressed and focused on rather than just distraction? I know you're really, really good at staying busy enough that it keeps you distracted. And sometimes that's helpful, but sometimes it's not. If the second you have time, you break.
You know what's funny? It's like this. It's like, so we got this awesome new mop, right? And it's a cool mop. And we're mopping, we're doing all this stuff. And then I'm like, I'm going to take this mop downstairs and have the boys mop their bathroom. Because it needs to be mopped, right? But that stupid thing sat out for almost a week. And we walked past it every day. And I'm like, I take that thing down and mop. You know, because a week, bro. It was just, it was like, it became a piece of furniture. And I'm like, why are we neglecting this? Why are we not just doing it? And it's kind of funny. It's a lot like what you're going through. There's something still inside that you see every now and then. You're like, I got to clean that up, but maybe tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And when we keep ignoring it, we keep ignoring it. We keep ourselves busy by doing the dishes or vacuuming the floor. But the mop's still out. And I'm like, okay, we got to get that downstairs because no one wants to mop the boys' bathroom. Holy cow. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what Marissa's talking about. It's like, what is that thing that still needs to be cleaned up? What is that one thing that still needs to kind of maybe be dealt with? And I think maybe each time you get close to it, it's like, maybe tomorrow. I'll just do some more service. So I think tomorrow's pretty wise. I mean, it would be good for you to take a little bit of a stewardship check and see what's there. Because you do hard things very well. But I can see how you're getting tired too. I mean, it's time. And you are light years away from where your mom was and is. I mean, you are night and day. Like, it's a privilege to even know you and to know what I know about what you guys have been through. And to even see you here tonight is a blessing for me, because I'm like, that means you're still kicking butt and taking names.
Trying.
Or doing. I love it. I love it. So yeah, Marissa will email you with that. Then I want to email.
I can send you the contact.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You're a rock star. Let's get you healed and get you back out and going, huh?
What's that?
We'll get you healed and get you back out and running with us. We'll start you off slow.
I'm trying.
When you're ready.
I have a torn ligament and a torn tendon, so just waiting for that.
Take care of it.
Yeah. Yep. Now's your downtime. We'll recoup and we'll get you going when you're ready. I love it. Take your vitamins.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Good chatting with you, Ro.
I am.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So listeners, that's a really good point, that compassion fatigue. It's a real thing. And when we get too involved in that kind of stuff, we forget to take time out for ourselves, and it can sink us pretty quick. So, all right.
All right. Jim is up next.
Our main man, Jim. Jim, your mic. There you are. Welcome. One-on-one with Coach Blue. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Good. How are you, Blue?
Doing good, man. Better than I should, I think. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, you should be doing good. You've put a lot of work into yourself. So
there's a lot we're doing. A lot of neat things on the horizon. But yeah. So what's on your mind this evening, man?
I'm just sitting here thinking, and what's been something that's kind of impacted me this past week. And
us talking about you just a second ago?
I don't think so. No,
we did. We were talking about you bumping into the guy up on your temp hike that knew David. So
really,
it must've been in the universe that you were going to check in today, but yeah, keep going.
Cause that's exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, perfect. We didn't even plan this. This was like, this is a gift from the gods then. Yeah.
Yeah, because I joined late. I guess I didn't catch that. But
cool.
Yeah,
share so, that with us.
You know, I've talked about over the past year about you know, connections and making connection with people, just you know, at random, you know, out in public. And you know, one of my first experiences is when I went to Canada last year, and yeah. I met that young lady in that you know, in that little vegan cafe. And it just kind of grew from there. You know, people that I would run into at random, out in public, and then you know, like months later, I'd run into them again somewhere, just somewhere completely random. Well, yeah, on Sunday I decided that I was going to go to Temp, and unbeknownst to me, half of A to A Utah County was doing Temp at the same time.
I love it.
And so, you know, running into the other athletes was just really amazing, because I didn't know that they were going to be there. But here you go. But yeah, when I went up Temp, and you know, I ran down, and when I got to the bottom, I was just, you know, just relaxing down there at the trailhead in the parking lot. And this guy, you know, ran off the mountain that I had passed up there. And, you know, he obviously looked like an ultra runner, and he obviously took a big spill, because it was obvious. And
yeah.
And so we're just kind of there, and something just compelled me to just start talking to him, you know, because for some reason in my head, I thought to myself, yeah, this guy doesn't look familiar. Like, I know every single runner in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
I just said to my, something in my brain just said, this guy doesn't look familiar. Like maybe he looks out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started talking to him, asked him where he was from. And, you know, he said he was from Leadville. And I was like, okay, that blew my mind. Cause
yeah.
You know, how many people do you run into that's from Leadville?
Oh yeah. Or knows it. Yeah.
August on some random Saturday. And we just started talking, and, you know, long story short, he knew David Clark, and he knew him from the, you know, the Leadville 10 and the race series up there. And he asked me if I was part of the Leadville 10, and I told him, you know, that was, you know, kind of a different journey, but, you know, I was aware of it, and that David was, you know, a coach and mentor to me. And I told him my story. I just started telling him my story, and then he opened up to me about, you know, his pain, and like, it was still fresh and raw and real. And it as soon as he started to open up about it, like, the look on his face just completely changed.
Yeah. He's probably like, am I really telling a complete stranger all of this? But you had that connection. You had that human to human connection.
It wasn't surprising that this person would open up to me, but just to feel the raw emotion that was coming out of him, and how he was so hurt and still dealing with, you know, this traumatic experience with his best friend, his roommate up there.
Yeah.
And, And the words that he was saying, I was listening to his words, and I was listening to his speech, and to try and get an idea of where his head's at. And it wasn't in a particularly good place.
Right.
And so I just started talking about how grateful I was to be out, you know, in nature, how grateful I was to be on Timpanogos, how grateful that it was a nice sunny day. And
in the moment.
Yeah. And just enjoying the moment and being in the moment, and that, you know, I try and wake up every morning and just be positive and put my best foot forward and just be grateful that I have that morning and that day.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to kind of encapsulate the good that he has right now, and kind of shift away from, you know, the really hard hurt that was inside.
I love that you do that. I love that you're not afraid to talk to people, Jim. And it's interesting. You know, human beings, we're a funny like species. I'm telling you, like, there are some times where you'll feel completely comfortable with approaching someone, and other times you're just worried sick. But what I've noticed is that, and maybe you've noticed this too, everyone's got something. Everyone's struggling with something. Everyone's got something heavy on them, especially right now with all this. If you go through social media, you see so many people that are anti-mask, pro-mask, you know, politics, yeah. And I'm like, guys, how about we just get rid of all that crap and we just talk to each other. Like, how are you doing? And how, you know, tell me a little bit about you. And then to listen, because most of us just want to talk. And to someone that listens, a genuine listener, there are few and far between, man. And so not only did you have a feeling to approach this person and say, you know, hey, you look like you're out of sorts, you also just listened. And how powerful that is, because most people aren't comfortable with listening. They've got to fill in the gaps with empty words. And so I was amazed by your ability to not just speak, but to listen. You know what I'm saying? Like, truly listen.
It's so important to connect when you're trying to connect with somebody, to listen. I mean, you start off by talking, you know, so you can build a connection with that person, and so they can identify with who you are and what you've been through, so they can feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But then you have to be able to listen to the person, you know, and listen to what they're saying, and really be empathetic and really kind of put yourself in their shoes if you can. And I could like put myself in his shoes and just feel like I could feel his pain.
Yeah.
It was just so tangible and so real and so fresh and raw. And so I was just trying to impart, you know, just,
but you know what I like about that, Jim? I like that you didn't try and solve it either, because I was talking to Marissa about this the other day. I'm like, there's so many times where I'm like, man, I feel like I've got to solve a lot of problems. And she's like, you don't really have to solve anyone's problems. And it's very true, right? But I'm glad that you had that experience, but you didn't feel like you had to like leave this person with some kind of like tip or knowledge or like wisdom. It was just like, hey, you're a runner. You know, I'm a runner.
Yeah,
I know you now, you know me now. And then you moved on. Like, he didn't solve any of his problems. But what you did do is listen to him to where he got comfortable sharing it. It's a big deal, man. And I think sometimes we don't engage with people because we're always afraid we have to problem solve, and we don't. Sometimes we have to just listen.
And a lot of times people just want somebody to listen to them. They don't necessarily more often than want not. You to solve anything.
It's true.
They just want you to listen.
It's true.
Yep. And so that was a really, really big, impactful experience for me. And, you know, Blue, what's really interesting is, you know, nobody's perfect. There is no thing as perfection. I just try and be as real and as honest and as authentic as I can.
Yeah.
As often as I can.
I appreciate every moment. That.
And, mm-hmm. You know, that's hard, but you know, when you wake up every day and you just try to be the best that you can, mm-hmm. you're going to be successful, you know, one moment at a time. Well, I had another experience today at work.
Mm.
And, you know, I was talking to this guy at work, you know, and I talk to him all the time, and, you know, we kind of have a rapport, but he's in a different department. But, so we were just sitting there talking today at the end of the day and just talking about just different things. And, you know, based upon what he was saying to me, I was just kind of speaking the way that I always speak, you know, about, mm-hmm. But not really referring specifically to what I've been through. But what I was, you know, saying to him or what I was imparting or the feeling that he was getting from me, he had this moment where he wanted to open up about his past. Mm. And
wow,
he told me about his 8 to 10 years of use of substances.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty profound. And it was just amazing that, again, you know, just in talking with somebody and being authentically who I know I am, you know, somebody else felt comfortable to share, you know, their past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he said it'd been, it's like 8 years removed, but, and we started talking about how our past doesn't define or isn't who we are today, but it helps shape who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he talked about gratitude, that he was so grateful for those experiences, because it helped shape who he is today.
It's amazing.
And it's just amazing. There's people that, there's no perfect life. Everybody mm-hmm. has a struggle, some sort of struggle. And it's just amazing when we can just be ourselves and be authentic.
And you're just, right.
And just talk, that, you know, people want to open up and share, you know, what they've been through.
Absolutely. But to be able to create an emotionally safe environment by which that can even happen is off the charts. And I have such respect for folks that can do that, because think about how different this world would be if we'd knock off all the crap and knock off all the politics and all the other stupid garbage that distracts from having human to human relationship, you know, and the stuff we could get done. And the opinions that just, you know, shouldn't matter or don't, you know, push them aside and be like, well, you know what, we are all trying to get through this together.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing to be able to have a conversation with everyone on this planet about whatever's going on and just be that person that can help, you know, sync that heartbeat again. Like I said, that when on your post on Facebook, when I saw the picture with Eric and then with the girls and then everybody, and I'm like, that to me is like the universe's heartbeat getting in rhythm, and you guys all just found yourself at that place together for no reason but for a purpose. And I'm thinking, Jim, you've got that talent, man, and it's cool that you pick up on it. I think your heart definitely beats at a rhythm that matches most, and so don't take that for granted, man. Don't snuff that away, brother. I love hearing these stories, because when you tell me these things, it helps me. I've told you about the time when I missed an opportunity. I'll never do that again. When I have those impressions to talk to them, but I'm going to do it because of you. So
listen,
thank
to
you
that
for
voice.
Sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Listen to that little voice inside
and
try not to be afraid to talk to somebody.
Absolutely. And look him in the eye. You know, don't, I do this now. I look people in the eye when I'm talking to them or whatnot. When we're going out to Leadville for Dave's memorial, I was approached by a guy at a gas station who wanted to wash my window for some change. And I'm like, you need to wash my window? And I remember looking at his eyes, and I asked him, like, what are you doing? He started telling me about his DUI ticket he got, so he can't leave, and so he's stuck. And I'm just like, man. And I came out, and he'd washed my window anyway. I gave him some money, but he washed it. I'm like, look at that. But yeah, ever since that conversation with you, I've always felt like if I have that impression, I'm not going to ignore it. We have those for a reason. So thank you. You've been very influential on Coach Blue here, brother.
Well, I'm just being me.
I love it.
Just being me. And
I love it.
So listening to Ro and what she was saying, I don't know her. I don't think we've ever met, but, you know, service is such a big thing. And, one thing that's always in my mind, on different subjects is the why behind why we do things.
Yeah.
Whether it's service or whatever it may be, you know, what's the why behind it? And is the why, is it a positive why, or is it kind of, does it have like a kind of negative, you know, meaning hanging off of why we're mm-hmm. doing something? And it all has to do with mindset, you know, and it's our mindset. And, you know, my mindset has shifted since, I guess maybe in the past year. You know, I've always wanted to help others and see people, you know, do well, but, you know, it's really shifted to now I really want to do things where it brings a team together.
Yeah.
You know, and And, you know, before my focus was kind of like on doing races and doing things for me, which, you know, we have to do things for ourselves. We have to set goals. That's super important. But, you know, now I want, you know, I just want to find ways where our team can come together, you know, even more and just impact people's lives. It's
that's what it's all about. It's awesome, yeah. Brother. I appreciate you bringing that to the table today. I really do. And yeah, do you guys ever see Jim running around? He's going to stop you and chat with you. So brace yourself.
And we have the fundraiser coming up. So that's a great opportunity to,
yeah,
to include people that normally may not participate with Act Athlete, or, you know, just get people out, the drum up conversation, the talk to our coworkers, you know, just let people know we have this, this fundraiser coming up in September, right?
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, the more people that can join us, the merrier.
It's going to be good. And that's something I think that when we get closer to it, I think we'll do a one-on-one exclusively on that, get people the information and talk about what our plan is, because we got some neat things in the hopper, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
Awesome. Well, thank you for checking in, brother. I appreciate you. Love you. And yeah, let's keep those connections flowing. I dig it.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Luke. You're welcome. I think we have one last question.
Yeah, so we have a question from Facebook from Cher. She said, how do I recognize when I'm starting to slip into old behavior, such as allowing my happiness to come from others and not within? How do I recognize my codependency tendencies? And then she added something. Let me see if I can find it.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I love doing things for people and I find joy in it, but sometimes I wonder if I'm doing it to get attention and I need the other person's validation, or am I doing it because it really does make me happy?
Hmm. I like that. But you know what? You were talking to Rhodes a second ago. What do you think about that? I'm curious what your thought is on.
Well, I think it's something
staying away from codependency and how to recognize.
Sometimes you've got to just stop and ask yourself that question. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing, we don't always recognize why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think, Cher, if you're asking this question, you've probably had that thought. And so maybe stopping and looking through, thinking about a situation that you've done that, is it because, you know, like, let it sit. I think we have more answers inside of us than we ever, you know, believe. Right. We think that we need to ask questions, or we need to go find a therapist, or we need to go talk to Buddha. But all the answers really are within us. If we can quiet the sounds, we can quiet the voices, quiet the things going on around us, and give ourselves a really special time to, like, let it sit, we'll know. And if you're asking, I think it's a great question, because I think a lot of people do that. They want to do something because they want to get attention from it. And so it's this outside, you know, cheerleader, you know, instead of that inside cheerleader. But if you can create them and do it both ways, then it's going to be more beneficial. Because for sure, codependency is a scary, sneaky little thing, because it makes you feel good because you're helping someone, but are you just doing it to get the attention, or is it because you really are doing it for the internal stuff?
I like that. I think as people in recovery and just in general, I think we've got to start getting very real with ourselves. And you hear me talk about this quite frequently. Mm-hmm. How we feel and how we think need to be two very different paradigms. And we feel 1,000 times more than we'll ever spend the time to think about. And what I mean by that is, we're the only ones that truly know our motivation. Everyone, you know, in our life thinks they might know what motivates us and whatnot, but we motivate ourselves through the way that we think. Meaning, like, if I'm investing too much into a relationship that's not giving me anything in return, what's my motivation? What is my thought process
that keeps you doing
that? That keeps me doing it. Mm-hmm. Because the feelings is obvious. It's, you know, that yearning to be loved, or the anxiety, the Twitter patient, whatever the feeling is. We don't do enough about our thinking. And, you know, to get real honest with yourself, to thine own self be true. You see it on a lot of those coins you get. What does that even mean? To thine own self be true. It's like, that's not a feeling. That's your thought. That's what you think about yourself. That's mm-hmm. how your mindset works. That's how you
who you are.
Who you are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't we don't drill down on that stuff very much, and we really should, because I'm a firm believer that thoughts create feelings, which creates those addictions.
Behaviors.
If we want to change our world, we must change our thinking. And, you know, truly, what makes me think that my compassion or my heart or my love is going to help fix this person? Because I'm thinking, shouldn't I be putting that onto myself? Shouldn't I be loving myself? And shouldn't I be doing those things for myself? But I think if I give it away, it's going to come back, and it doesn't. And codependency is like, I'm going to keep giving and giving and giving, and nothing in return. I'm going to expect nothing in return. And so I think we've got to do more thinking.
Yeah.
You hear this all the time. You know, I could sit here and say, I think that the president of the United States is a flipping turnip, right? Mm-hmm. And that's my thought. But we can debate that, because there'll be some folks out there that think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And we can have a nice long debate about that. But if I say, I feel that he is the worst president ever to walk the face of this earth,
it's the safer route.
That's my truth, right? Which I hate when people say my truth.
Honestly, yeah. I think it's the safer route.
If
people say that,
if they say,
no one's going to argue.
No one argues feelings, right?
But well, some people do, but
yeah, but, yeah. But that's the thing, right? Those are the get off my lawn people.
Yeah,
but it's true. If you want to change your world, you've got to change your thinking. And when we do things impulsively through feelings and not through through the thought process or to explore or to research, we end up doing stupid things. And Lord knows, I've seen it on Facebook. And it's funny now, I've been noticing on Facebook when people put these weird things up that sometimes Facebook will flag it and say,
false information,
not quite researched. And then people get all mad, oh, they're suppressing my, you know, my view on this. But it's like, because it's not been researched, and you're just probably taking an impulse feeling and you're throwing it out there as truth, and it's not, because you feel like it matches your narrative. But do you think it does? If you thought it did, you do more research. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know that if you wear a mask out there in public, you're going to not get COVID. I think we're all going to get it one of these days. But what I'm saying is that when you start saying, well, it's because, you know, Bill Nye or Bill Gates, whoever it is, whoever the millionaire guy is, he started it in his Petri dish in his bathroom in a laboratory underneath his facility, whatever. Don't do that. Those are feelings. Thought process.
But they read something that said that, yeah. And everything on the internet
is true. But what does it do? It strikes feelings, right? Because our thought process is that, you know, it's scary, and when we don't know. So a long story short, I think do more thinking, do less. It sounds kind of funny. Here's a therapist. Do more thinking, do less feeling. Let the feelings come after the thoughts. And we can become the master of our own thoughts. I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. I really do. But it's hard.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not easy. I mean, you don't talk about like pornography and those kind of things, you know, those thoughts can turn into an addiction real quick. And so really, drill down on us. Let's start getting more in touch with the whys. Like Jim was just saying, it was awesome for me to figure out the core issue, the why to why my addiction took over. And when I started drilling down on it, and I came to the conclusion, I understood that my core issue was neglect. And what my thoughts on neglect were, man, it opened up a ton of different experiences and doors for me to start feeling. Mm-hmm. And then it changed the way I feel about it, right?
By having different
Having different thoughts.
And behaviors, yeah.
But that's a whole other story. So I love that question, and I hope that helps a little bit. But, you know, you're enough. How about you drill down on you for a little while and figure out your why? Why are we, you know, investing so much in a relationship that seems to be giving nothing in return? And if I'm okay with that, then you've got to be okay with it. But if you're not feeling okay with it, that means you got to change your thinking.
And if your return is only, oh, you're so wonderful, oh, you're so wonderful, but you can't say that to yourself, and so you're just looking for that outside validation, yeah. we've got to change that, you know?
It's true. It's true. Because
it's easy to help others and let them just praise on you. You know, you can find a new person every day, but if you're not happy inside when you go home every day, you're going to really struggle.
And right now, we don't got a lot of other things to do than to worry about other people, because, you know, there's not much else to do up there because we can't. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to. Athletes, viewers, thank you for participating tonight on One-on-One with Coach Blue. We're here every Wednesday for the hour, sometimes a little bit above the hour. But please, if you want bonus content, we have bonus content that is being recorded as we speak and is going to be produced and given to those who are on our Patreon donors page. If you want to become a donor on Patreon, jump on patreon.com/addict2athlete. We'll post this link on our Facebook and on other social media outlets.
In fact, I think we have our first webinar Monday. For our bonus content for Patreon.
We're going to be talking about relationships.
So we'll talk about it. We'll get it posted on Patreon to our Patreon supporters, and they'll get the extra content. It helps us keep this stuff going and
it does.
Be able to produce more.
It helps you get bonus content. It helps you get perks and merchandise and other features that that everybody else that just consumes doesn't have. So I want to give a shout out to Brett Frew and Chris Williams, as they are our Patreon fan base. They are the super fans in that tier. And then we have Josh Hansen, who is our okayest jogger. Love Josh Hansen. Mm-hmm. Josh Hansen is on the rookie platform, which is just a step above. And then we have two professional level Patreon donors. And they are Jim Koblin, who you just heard from, and Selena Armitage, who came on first. Yeah. So thank you to both
thank
of our
super fans.
Thank you,
guys. We appreciate you guys so much.
And our professionals. You guys, it really does help us a lot. Addict Athlete is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Therefore, we only can do this through your ability to help us create and produce through your donations. And so Patreon helps us also give back to you for your donations as well. So thank you so much for everyone that tuned in today. We hope to see you next week. Jump on. We'd love to hear if you didn't get your question answered. Jump on. You can email us throughout the week,
and maybe we can feature start it with it next week.
Absolutely. So until next time, on One on One with Coach Blue, go turn that mess of addiction into a very powerful message of sobriety.